Tuesday, May 24th. The president had me in this morning before the first head-to-head meeting. He and Henry feel pretty good because they think they've got Salt pretty well wrapped up last night. Although it's now developed, as people think about it, that we're going to have a hell of a problem with the conservatives at home. And the president's pushing hard for the Joint Chiefs, defense people, and other military to work on selling the Hawks. The president then got into the Rogers problem again, that we've got to find something for Rogers to do on his own, maybe move him in as the commercial negotiator, something of that sort. He again told me to get in and handle it because he doesn't see how Henry can do anything on it. I agreed I would try, but again, didn't see how there was anything I could do either, at least at this point, until Rogers raises a problem. Later, after the morning session, the president had us in again, and Henry was furious by then because it turned out that at the morning session, Brezhnev brought in Gromyko and Kosygin and some others. So the president immediately added Rogers, and in the process gave Rogers responsibility for handling European Security Conference dealings, also MBFR, and the whole commercial thing. Henry's now afraid that everything he's put together is going to fall apart and that we have a real problem on that. He told the president so, but not very clearly, not nearly as strenuously as he had told me. Actually, I think it's a pretty good solution because it'll keep Rogers busy and satisfied, and is the only way that realistically they're going to keep him out of getting into the communique drafting business. The president also got into the speech question. He wants to review the TV speech this afternoon, since we got the afternoon session canceled for today. He wants to get some good anecdotes in, some memorable things. Feels that the original toast was very lacking because it didn't have any sense of the greatness of the moment. For example, it was the first time a president has spoken in the Kremlin. We should get excited about the historic event and really feel it. He wants to do the Monday toast at the reception in those terms, the significance of the moment, the magnificence of the hall, looking to the future of other meetings, hoping the Soviets will visit the U.S., and so on. End of May 24th up to 3 p.m. Comments. Henry's working hard, as he always does. He seems to be up pretty tight. He's working well with me, but is very brusque with Flanagan and others. The president is in good shape, quite relaxed, taking things as they go. We did the unknown soldier this morning and had hoped to get into the people, but couldn't because the Soviets had it locked up so tight that there was no way for the president to get loose. So we just gave up on it. Mrs. Nixon's having somewhat the same problem in her tours, but we've talked to the Soviet police and have some hopes that some of this at least will be remedied. Continuing Wednesday, March 24th, the earlier part was dictated at 3 o'clock. After that, the president had me in at 5:30 before the signing ceremony to go over some odds and ends on plans for the dinner. He wants Clyburn to be sure and play the Soviet anthem first. And he was concerned about his pancake powder for makeup use in the TV Sunday night. Then he went over to the signing ceremony. And immediately after it, Brezhnev and he started down the hall with our advance party leading them. And they thought they were going across to go into the residence and down to get in his car, when all of a sudden the president and Brezhnev disappeared down a corridor, zipped into an elevator, shot downstairs, came out into the driveway, popped into Brezhnev's car, and roared off, with Duncan just barely catching up. Kissinger had been waiting over at the residence, planning to ride with the president out to the dacha to get a chance to talk with him, and the motorcade had left without him. Henry missed the whole thing and was, of course, furious, but got in the president's car with Brennan and shot on out. They didn't get back until well after midnight, end of May 24th.